Glad you're here tonight. Going to look at a familiar psalm tonight, Psalm 100. And the notes are in the back if you haven't got them yet. But follow along as I read Psalm 100. A psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So a short 5-verse psalm, but a psalm that is very, very important. It's powerful, and it has a lot to say in those short 5 verses. Notice there with me, if you will, in the in our notes under word studies, notice the title. It's a very simple title, A Psalm of Praise. But this title identifies it as a psalm. And remember, a psalm is a song set to music, and it's a psalm of praise. So this was a psalm that not only was sung, but music accompanied it. And in this psalm, in this short 5-verse psalm, there are 7 imperatives. What are imperatives? They're commands. And each one reciting some form of praise to the Lord. And then each one tells us what to do. Okay? So notice the first one. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Okay? So we're commanded to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We're commanded in this psalm to serve the Lord. But how? With gladness. Okay? And number 3. We're commanded to come before his presence with singing. We're commanded to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We're commanded also to enter into his courts with praise. We're also commanded to be thankful unto him, and we're commanded to bless his name. So here, the psalmist is telling us, these imperatives, and he's calling on all of us to praise and thank the Lord. I have a couple of quotes here. This first quote comes from Spurgeon, his Treasury of David, and what he says concerning this psalm. He says, "This is the only psalm bearing this precise inscription," or a psalm of praise. Out of all the psalms, it's the only one that says a psalm of praise as its title. Okay? "It is all ablaze with grateful adoration, and has for this reason been a great favorite with the people of God since it was written. Let us sing the old 100th is one of the everyday expressions of the Christian church, and will be so while men exist whose hearts are loyal to the great King. Nothing can be more sublime this side heaven than the singing of this noble psalm by a vast congregation." I remember one time in the mid to late 90s being in Toronto, Canada at a convention of which Ian Paisley was speaking. And Ian Paisley is with the Lord now, but Ian Paisley was from Northern Ireland, and he was a great preacher. And at this conference, he literally said this, "Let us sing the old 100th. And everybody broke out, singing. So they were very familiar with it. I think it's something that's probably more popular in England and Ireland than here in America, because I had never heard that phrase before. Anybody ever hear that phrase? Okay, so, well, but it's... In Spurgeon's day, in the 1800s, it was definitely well known. This comes from the Expositor's Bible Commentary. "The Psalms of the King end with this full-toned call to all the earth to do him homage. It differs from the others of the group. And remember, we looked at the Royal Psalms, 93 to 99. By making no distinct mention either of Jehovah's royal title or of the great acts of deliverance, which was his visible exercise of sovereignty. But it resembles them in its jubilant tone, its urgent invitation to all men to walk into light, in the light which shone on Israel, and its conviction that the mercy shown to the nation had blessings in them for all the world. And from the Jewish Study Bible, they say this, Psalm 100 serves as an anthology or summary for the collection. So Psalm 93 to 99, the royal psalms, the kingly psalms, and this Psalm 100 here is kind of like the summary to that. Because of everything that has gone on before, the psalmist then calls the people to come and praise and thank the Lord for all that he is. Okay, kind of like the conclusion, okay, the application of the message. And of course, we've seen this before, but from these psalms, but make a joyful noise, okay, means to shout, okay? It doesn't mean, you know, well, the only thing I can do, you know, is when I sing is make a joyful noise. Well, you know, you should be joyful, and not all of us can sing, but the phrase literally means to shout, okay? It's to be excited about the Lord. And I think we need a little bit more excitement sometimes, and we need to shout once in a while. So make a joyful noise. Amen? Amen. That wasn't too much of a joyful noise right there. But anyway, the outline, verses 1 and 2, all the earth is called to praise. And then verse 3 gives the reason why. And then verse 4, there's a call to give thanks. And verse 5, the reason for it, okay? We're going to look at quite a bit of scripture tonight, so you might want to have a marker to mark Psalm 100. But notice the first stanza. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing, okay? So in this first stanza, verses 1 and 2, all the earth is called upon to shout unto the Lord, and to sing and serve and come into the Lord's presence with gladness. Now, we have seen this before. Look at, go turn back just a couple of pages in your Bible. Look at Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms or with songs. Look at Psalm 98. Look at verse 4. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. So this is why so many of the commentators really feel that this kind of is the conclusion of all these other psalms, because there's very similar language in here. Remember, we talked last week about David is more than likely the author of all of these psalms, because I believe it was Psalm 95 that is quoted in the New Testament, and the author there says, and David said. So, you know, David is calling on all the world to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. In the second stanza, verse 3, know ye not. Now, here's the reason, okay? Here's the reason why all the earth is called upon to praise God. For it says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Isn't that interesting phrase in the middle of the verse? It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Especially today, you know, in light of what's going on in the world and how people, number one, they don't believe in God. They believe in evolution. But number two, how people can just willy-nilly change what they want to be. You know, it's not based on any fact. It's based on how I feel. Okay? So it's not the fact, the Bible fact, the Bible truth that God made us. Okay? So again, just a little side note there. But in this second stanza, verse 3, we see the reason why we are called upon to serve the Lord, to praise the Lord, and to come before His presence with thanksgiving. Because He created us. That's the first reason. He created us. Turn back to Psalm 95. Look at verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our what? Our Maker. Okay? Please turn ahead to Proverbs 22 and verse 2. After Psalms is Proverbs, and Proverbs 22:2, the Bible says, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the Maker of them all. And one more verse. Keep going to the right, to Isaiah, not too far after Proverbs, and turn to chapter 40 and look at verse 28. Isaiah 40, verse 28. The Bible says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. So over and over and over again, the Bible is very clear that the Lord created us, the Lord made us. Okay? Over and over again. And anything else that is taught, we know, is to be a lie. But one of the reasons that we are to praise God is because He created us. He gave us life. Life can only come from life. And one of God's attributes is life. And He gave us life. How can life come from nothing? Okay? I don't want to get into a debate on all that tonight. So we find out the reasons why. Number one, because He created us. Number two, because we are His people. Now, of course, ultimately in the psalm, this is talking about the nation of Israel. But what about us? What about us Gentiles? Go all the way to the almost end of the Bible, the next to the last chapter, and look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. We're to praise Him because we are His people. Revelation 21:3, the Bible says this. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be what? His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Isn't that going to be a wonderful, wonderful time? You know, when we're in heaven and God will be in the midst of us, He will be with us, He will dwell with us, okay? And they shall be His people. It's wonderful, friends, to be God's people. And this is another reason why we are to praise Him. Not only because He created us, but we're His people through the new birth. And then number three, here's something that's even more precious. We are His sheep. And of course, this brings to mind John chapter 10. Of course, we could also go to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. But think about that. And when you think about sheep, think about how dependent sheep are to the shepherd and how much the shepherd cares for and protects and provides them. And it's a wonderful thing to think that we are the sheep in God's pasture. Look at John 10. Look at verse 11. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Who's speaking here? The Lord Jesus. Okay? And He's telling us He is the good shepherd. Go down to verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And friends, here's you and me in this first phrase right here. And other sheep I have. That's us. Okay? and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, not of the nation of Israel, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be, what? One fold and one shepherd. Now, I do believe with all my heart in the distinction between the church and Israel, but the wonderful thing, though, we do share is we do share the same shepherd. The Lord is not only our shepherd, but the Lord is my shepherd. Okay? So these are reasons that we're called upon to praise the Lord, because he created us, because we're his people, and because we are the sheep of his pasture. But then in the third stanza, verse 4, there's a call to give thanks. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Okay? So here again is this call to give thanks. Therefore, we should enter into his gates and into his courts with thanksgiving, praise, and blessing his name. The imagery here, of course, is entering into the temple. Okay? And you'll remember last week when we looked at the Herod's temple, at least, but there was the entering in the gate, the beautiful gate, which entered into the court. Okay? The beautiful gate separated the outside court of Gentiles. Gentiles couldn't come in, but enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So as we enter into God's presence, we should enter into his presence, how? With thanksgiving, okay? With praise, blessing his name. And again, you know, you and I today, if you turn to Hebrews, you and I today, we could look at 1 Peter and other verses. We could look at the book of Revelation. But the Bible tells us, and we learned this also in our adult Sunday school class, the Bible tells us that we are a priesthood of believers, okay? Our high priest is the Lord Jesus, okay? But all of us are priests. And if that is the case, look what Hebrews tells us, chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to our God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, only the third Thursday of November. Or is it the fourth Thursday? Whatever. No, it doesn't say that. We're to always be thankful, okay? Because of what he's done for us. With our lips, giving thanks. So we can actually come into God's presence. And in doing so, we come into his presence with thanksgiving. And then the last stanza, verses 4 and 5, here is the reason, I'm sorry, just verse 5. Here is the reason why. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Those three reasons given there, we could spend, you know, weeks studying each phrase. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. But he is good. Look at what it says in Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Jesus is asked a question and gives a very interesting answer. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Who's the only one that is good? God. Paul tells us in Romans that how many are good? None. Zero. Nada. Okay? Is that how you say zero in Spanish? Nada? Zero. What's nada? What language is that? Okay. It is Spanish, but it means nothing. Okay. All right. There you go. I knew a Spanish word and didn't even know it was Spanish. So, but we have here, you know, the fact that God is good. You know, and did ever anybody ever say to you, or you said to somebody, God is good, and they say, what? All the time. You know, and that's true. He is good all the time. God is good. He's always good. All the time. And how rich that is and how wonderful that is. That's why we should give thanks to him, because God is good. And also for his everlasting mercy. Turn a little bit ahead, Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth, how long? Forever. And again, very similar wording, and also very similar wording in Psalm 107, verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Of course, these verses also tell us that he is good, but the fact that his mercy endures forever. And then the psalm says, and his truth endureth to all generations. And that, I couldn't help but think when I was going through this, I couldn't help but think of John chapter 14. It's interesting. The word truth is used in the Gospel of John 27 times, okay? So what do you think John speaks about a lot, okay? Truth. But John 14, 6, of course, we know this verse. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, what's the next phrase? The truth, okay? And the life. So we can thank the Lord for his eternal incarnate truth. Okay? The truth is incarnate in Jesus. Jesus is the truth. But also, we can thank God for his word, which is truth. John 17, verse 17, in Jesus' great high priestly prayer, just before he is taken away to his trial, sanctify them through thy truth. And what's the last phrase? Thy word is truth. Okay? Thy word is truth. And so we're called upon to give thanks to God. And the reasons we are is because he is good, because his mercy is everlasting, and because of his truth, which endures from generation to generation, all without ever failing. So every generation, every new generation finds out that God is good, finds out that God is merciful, and finds out that he is truth. And it goes on, it says there, and his truth endures to all generations. So it just keeps going. And isn't that wonderful that even though the Lord has existed from eternity past and he will exist through eternity future, God is the eternal contemporary. And he's always, not only is he always good, he's always merciful, not only is he always truth, but he's always new. Think about it. Somebody comes to Christ, and things to them are what? Brand new. But yet, for the church, you know, from its beginning, we've known this of God. The nation of Israel knew this of God.